Good evening, Rabosai. Good night, Shavuos. It's nice to see everybody. And I wanted to, first of all, welcome everybody to Zoom. All the people who haven't been here before, Rav Yosef Adler, Yashika, for joining us, and family. I wanted to talk tonight about a sugya of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, which is, I think, one of the most important, almost controversial at times, in sugyas to discuss. Whenever anybody is beginning to discover the depths of Torah from beginning stages, and they encounter the concept of machlokas, they encounter the concept of, you know, different rabbanim saying different things and different poskim saying different things. It's sometimes a very challenging concept for people to wrap their heads around. How could it be that you have two simultaneous truths? Because usually we look at the concept of truth as either as being mutually exclusive. If it's true, then the thing that says otherwise is not true. If the other thing is true, then this isn't true. So how could you have Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim? That's the sugya that I want to talk about. Now, typically, the easy way to understand Elu ve'elu is that, of course, we only follow one. We pick one halacha that we follow, but the other is, you know, it's Torah. It is Torah, right? It's Torah. Beis Shammai, we don't follow. We don't hold like Beis Shammai, but Beis Shammai is also Torah. And that's where it is. Beis Shammai is Torah, but in the world of Maisa, we don't look at Beis Shammai. So I was listening to a shir from Rabbi Schechter on this topic, and he started with a story that after he had given shir and brachas for 10 years, so you guys are wondering why I gave shir and hilchas muktzah for 2 years. Well, Rabbi Salvation gave shir and brachas, mesechus brachas, for 10 years. And when he made a siyum, somebody asked him, you know, why did you teach brachas? Brachas is almost all dinim d'rabbanan. So it's only Talmud Torah d'Rabbanan. You should learn Zvachim. Zvachim is Ruba Dinam d'Araisa. So this a little smattering of Dinam d'Rabbanan here and there, but you should learn that Torah d'Araisa. So why, once you're learning Torah, why squander the time dedicated to learning for Torah d'Rabbanan? So Soloveitchik said, no. A Din d'Rabbanan, that means that the Gavra has a Chiyuv mid'Rabbanan to do, but the Din d'Rabbanan has a Heftza of Torah mid'Araisa. Meaning, for the individual to do one way or the other, that might be d'rabbanan. But that which Torah is Torah, that is clearly d'oraisa. So what I want to do in the first few minutes is share with you an incredible Mishkanos Yaakov. Mishkanos Yaakov is one of the Talmidim of Chaim Volozhin. And Chaim Volozhin, in the Volozhin Yeshiva, the Mishkanos Yaakov, wrote a number of svarim. Among them was a sefer on brachas called Koheles Yaakov. So in Koheles Yaakov, the Mishkanos Yaakov sets forth a fascinating insight that changes our whole perspective of what Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim means. And he suggests the following. Elu ve'elu does not mean that in the world of thought and the world of ideas, it's also Torah. Beis Shammai is also Torah. I'm going to show you five different scenarios where we paskin like the shitos, or where we rely, where we use the shitos that we don't paskin like. In other words, if we have one way that we paskin like, and another opinion is rejected, so typically we assume, okay, it's rejected, it's not the halacha, but it's still Torah because Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. So what we're going to see right now is five different areas in halacha that the very fact that there's a shita that we don't paskin like, you do paskin like sometimes. And this is going to be an absolutely fundamental yesod, because the next few proofs that we're going to bring are going to show that even if we assume Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, and even if we assume that there's a right psak and a wrong psak, the wrong psak is still right sometimes. And you'll see what I mean. Just like a broken clock is still correct twice a day, it's still accurate, has the right time twice a day. So even if there's a psak that's wrong that we reject, we still are going to rely on it in numerous cases. And that, by definition, is going to change the way we look at Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. Because it means even when we reject a psak, even when we don't accept an opinion, that doesn't mean that there's ever an opinion that is completely, completely rejected. And therefore, if something is totally rejected, it still will have its place in halacha. And therefore, what that will prove for us is that Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim is not just in the realm of machshava, but it is a psak and true in the realm of halacha also. And let me share with you a few of the points that the Mishkanos Yaakov suggests in his Sefer Koheles Yaakov. Number one, there's a halacha of Arla. Arla is applicable in Eretz Yisrael. Guess what? Arla is also applicable in Chutz La'aretz. However, the Gemara tells us that Arla in Chutz La'aretz, whatever the machlokis is in Eretz Yisrael, and however you pass in Eretz Yisrael, Orla in Chutz Laaretz, we will follow the Makel opinion in Eretz Yisrael. That means, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, there's a discussion among the posts. There's a machlokes, Tanoim, Amoraim, Rishonim, Achronim, on the halachas of Orla in Eretz Yisrael. Well, whoever the lenient opinion is in Eretz Yisrael that is rejected in Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to Chutz Laaretz, that's how we paskin in Chutz Laaretz. That's point number one. Point number two. Many of you are familiar with the concept of Safek Avelus Lahakel. Let me rephrase that. Safek Hilchas Avelus Kedevri HaMekel. That means that if there's a Safek in Hilchas Avelus, there's a Machlokas or something, we follow the lenient opinion in almost all circumstances. There are certain parameters to this din, but okay, so maybe you'll say, yeah. Why are you following the lenient opinion by Avelus? Maybe it's because Avelus is itself only midrabanan. Oh, if Avelus is only midrabanan, then of course you're going to be maker. You're going to be maker. It's a safik drabanan lahakel. Says the Ramban, absolutely not. Says the Ramban, he quotes Gaonim who hold that Avelus Yom Rishon is midah oraisa. And even though Avelus Yom Rishon is midah oraisa, how do we paskin on a safik and that Avelus? That a safik that Avelus midah oraisa? Halacha kedivrei hamekel. That means even if you have a shita that should be rejected, that we shouldn't paskin like, but it's if it's in the area, the realm of Avelus, we learn it out from a pasuk perhaps, it's going to follow, we're going to follow that divrei hamekel. That's number two. Proof number three, that even a halacha that's rejected from, even an opinion, a psak that's rejected from halacha, it's still true, not just theoretically, and not just in the world of machshava, but even in the world of the base medrash, but even halacha lemaisa. Maybe some of you have been to Beis Din before. In Beis Din, there's the following rule. Let's say you want to extract money from me. You're the Tovea, I'm the Nitva. So it's machlokes, ktsosa nitzivis, whether you could extract the money. It's machlokes, sma and taz. It's machlokes, achronim, whether you could extract the money from me. And let's say we paskin that you could indeed extract the money from me. However, there's a special halacha that says that in a Beis Din, the nitva, you're trying to extract money from me, I could claim, I could be an Am HaAretz Gomer, I could be an Am HaAretz L'Mahadrin. And you know what I could claim? I could claim Kimli, Kedivrei Yachid. I could say, I hold, I don't know anything, I never learned Choshe Mishpat, all of a sudden I'm becoming a big knacker. I hold like that odd opinion, and therefore you have no right to be motzi money from me. In other words, anywhere else in the world, we paskin not like this opinion. This opinion is rejected. It's a das yach, we reject it. But all of a sudden, when it comes to you being motzi money from me, because I'm motzi mechaver love haraya, all of a sudden, that opinion, I could say, oh, I'm a big macher, I know choshemish, but I hold like that opinion. Even though I never heard of it. I never learned choshemish, but that's a special halacha that you could always say, kimli kedivri hameka, when it comes to mominis, because of motzi mechaver love haraya. Now, there's an interesting story about this. There's a certain case in Hilchas Yerusha that Rabbi Shachter likes to point out, where when a person who goes to Beis Din says, I hold like this das yachid, and therefore you can't take money out of me because I hold like that opinion, even though, you know, we wouldn't paskin like that theoretically, but since Hamosim Echaver of Haraya, I could always claim that I hold like that opinion, therefore I don't want to pay you. There's a certain case where the Rambam has an opinion. And let me back up one point. In order for me to say Kimli Kedivri HaMekel, that I go like that one opinion, it can't be a Das Yachid. If there are 15 opinions and there's one who says that I don't have to pay, I can't rely on that. If it's, you know, 7 against 3, 8 against 2, 8 say I have to pay and 2 say I don't have to pay, if at least there's an opinion out there, that, not just one person, but not just a Das Yachid, but at least one or two, there are a handful of poskim who say that I don't have to pay. Then even the preponderance of poskim say you do have to pay, and you are chayev, but still you're not going to have a chayev to pay, because you can say I hold like that minority opinion. But it has to be at least two people. It can't be a shitas yachid. It can't be a shita yachida. So Shachter likes to quote a case in Yerusha, where there's a shitas harambam, who says a certain case that you don't have to pay, whatever the case might be. And there's also a shita the Rimi Gash. And the Ravid there points out that the Rambam and the Rimi Gash, because the Rambam loved the Rimi Gash and was such a big Talmud of the Rimi Gash, and was so kafuf to the opinion of the Rimigash and held the Rimigash in such great esteem, that's not considered two opinions, it's considered one opinion. Why? So it goes back to the Rambam's youth. When the Rambam was a little boy, he had a father named Maimon. We know Maimon, right? His father was Reb Maimon. Reb Maimon was a Talmud of the Rimigash. And when the Rambam, Reb Moshe ben Maimon, was a young boy, his father, Maimon, took Reb Moshe, the Rambam, to visit the Rimigash and got a bracha. The Rimigash gave a bracha that he should have hatzlacha in learning. And the Rambam, this is what Rav Shechter says, I don't know where he saw it written, and the Rambam attributed all of his hatzlacha in learning to that bracha that he got from the Posek Hador from the Rimigash. And the Rambam writes, Sichlo mavis b'chol ha-talmud, that the Rimigash is just so incredibly brilliant in his mastery of all of Shas, that whatever he says is right. So therefore the Poskim say, if the Rimigash and the Rambam both share an opinion that's unusual against everybody else, that's not considered two opinions. That's considered like a das yachid. I think the Raven makes this point. Because he is so kafuf to his Rebbe, sometimes you find discussions among different Rabbanim I've seen in the past few weeks, certain Rabbanim having different opinions. And then you realize that certain Rabbanim are Talmidim of a different Rebbe. And because they're Talmidim of a different Rebbe, so all of those are under the same, who all learned by the same Rebbe. They all follow that line of thinking, not because it's their own, not because they're the majority or they have their own perspective, but because they're all Talmud of a certain Rebbe, so they all share that mindset. So that's an interesting he'ara when it comes to the nitva, when he wants to claim kimli like that das yachid, it has to be not a das yachid, it can't be one opinion, it has to be a minority opinion, but at least with two shitas who hold that way. Okay, let's continue on our list. We're looking for another case where there's a halacha that is an opinion that's rejected, and therefore we will still sometimes rely on it. Gemara tells us, I think it's more than a Gemara. The Gemara we're familiar with, the idea that there's something called the Midas Chasidus. The Mishnah Berurah does this all day long. There's a machlok is about a certain issue. So what do? You try to be machmir, right? You try to be machmir. There's machlokis in Hilchas Tefillah, there's machlokis in Hilchas Erev, there's machlokis in Hilchas, well, Erev might be an exception. Machlokis in Hilchas Chanukah, machlokis in Hilchas Dalet Mina, whatever it is. There's two opinions, numerous opinions. So what are you going to do? You'll be machmir. You try to be, do Midas Chasidus, to be Yotzei, that Shita. Wait a second. That Shita was rejected, I thought. We don't paskin like that. This is an example of Eilu Ve'eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. The Gemara says that it's a Midas Chasidus. The Gemara in Beitza says, I don't remember where it is, that it's a Midas Chasidus to be Machmir for a Shitas Yachid. So you see that even a Shitas Yachid, you could be Machmir for, even in the realm of Halacha, and again, this makes it into Shas, even though we don't really paskin like it. Finally, the last of the group of proofs that show that even Das Yachids or even Shitas that we don't paskin like the Beis Shammai types of halachas, that you still make that they are still Eil Ve'eil Divrei Elokim Chayim, not just theoretically, but even halach l'maisa, is the fact that when we have a Sha'as Hadchak, halacha is, we always rely on a Das, on a minority opinion in a case of Sha'as Hadchak. Now it's true, there's a question if that only applies to a question of Derabbanan or even Daraisa. But either way, for example, tomorrow night, there's a machlokas, whether you should wait to daven Marav after Tzeis or not after Tzeis. And for us, because of the circumstances, because of Corona, it's going to be very difficult for us to wait after Mincha to daven Marav after Tzeis. So I was makel for the shul to daven Marav right away, even though it's even if it's not the classical opinion. Why? Because it's Shas Hadchak, because of safety and health concerns. And therefore, you see, so we have a whole bunch of cases that I just presented. You have the case of Erevin. You have the case of Orlon Chutzlaris. You have Safik Avelis Kedivri HaMekel. You have the case of Mominus, where you could say Kimli Kedivri HaMekel. You have the case of Midas Chasidus. You have the case of Shas Hadchak, where we see that even there, although there are halachas that you shouldn't, even when there are halachas that we don't paskin like and we don't accept, still, Eilu Ve'eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim tells us that you do follow that das yachid, that minority opinion, in these various situations that you find yourself in. Okay, that was as a matter of a little bit of a background. And now I'd like to share my screen with you and introduce you to the sugya and the source of where we find Eilu Ve'eilu, and go into a few understandings that we find in the Rishonim, maybe early Achronim, of why Eilu Ve'eilu could be true and how could it make sense. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehiyeh bedvaro. Okay, so let me just adjust my screen so I can share my screen with you. Okay. Let me redo the screen, please. Again, if anybody wants to make a comment, you're welcome to participate. Just unmute yourself and talk. Scream, argue. That's what we're here for. That's what Torah's all about. Okay.
So let me say this. If you're following a yachid, this is see what I'm asking. You're following a yachid, and you're not going against the rabbi, but you're following the yachid, and you can be interpreted as if you're not following the rabbi. For example, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a machlokes in Kriya Shema, and you're not negating Beis Hillel, but you're following Beis Shammai. So the Gemara criticizes you. You're not allowed to do that.
That's correct. We're going to see why Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is a special case. It's a unique case. And the line that you're referring to is Asa Kedivri Beis Shammai Lo Asa V'lo Klum. Right? That's the line that you're referring to. But we're going to talk about Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is an exceptional case to what we're discussing. It's going to be the only case, one of the few cases that is different from what I'm saying tonight, but we're going to get there. Let's learn about a different case of Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Excuse me for a minute just so I can blow my nose. Okay, sorry. Good morning, Erev and Yud Gimel. A story. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel. For 3 years, there was a raging machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about various points. Halalu Omrim Halachin Kamosenu, Halalu Omrim Halachin Kamosenu. They're arguing for 3 years, each one is confident in their own position, they don't budge from their positions. Finally, and look at this, because this is the source in Shas, only one of two places in Shas where this line appears. Yatza Baskel v'Amra, Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, v'Halacha k'Beis Hillel. We spoke about this for a minute at Mincha today, but now we're going to go much more in depth. And at Mincha time, we said, why is it that we follow Beis Hillel? Why did the Baskel say like Beis Hillel? That we're not going to get into now. Comes the Ritva and says, I don't understand. You meet a Baal Tshuva, a guy comes to Eish HaKodesh, a guy comes to Eish HaTorah, a guy goes to Or Sameach, he comes to beginner yeshiva, he says, Rabbi, I don't understand. Truth is truth. How can you tell me that what's untrue is true, what's true is untrue? I don't know, how can you have two opposite things and both be true? If this is right, if this is what Hashem wants, then that's what Hashem wants, and the other is wrong. This is a question that you don't have to be a Baal Tshuva to ask. This is the question that Rabbanei Tzarfas, the Baal Yatosos, asked. Look at the Ritva here I share with you on Erev and Daf Yud Gimel. Shalu Rabbanei Tzarfas, Hech Efshar, how in the world is it possible, pray tell, Sheyishneim Divrei Elokim Chayim, if, after all, Ze Oser Ze Matir. If one says it's Mutter, one says it's Oser, don't give me this garbage that they're both true. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. It sounds Jewish. It sounds from, it sounds whatever, but it doesn't make sense. It can't be true. Vatirtzu, look at this incredible answer of the Ritva. We're going to have to get a deeper understanding of it, one step at a time. Vatirtzu, the Rabbanei Tzarfas responded, answered the following. Rabbo said, prepare yourselves for how the Rishonim understand the concept of Elu ve'Elu. This is it. Kisha'ala Moshe Lamarom Lekabel Torah. Right? We're about to celebrate Shavuos. And we celebrate the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah. Herulo, Hashem, or the whatever up in Shemayim, they showed him Al Kol Davar, Memtes Panim LeIsser, UMemtes Panim LeHeter. On any given Shaila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him 49 ways to be Aseret and 49 ways to make it Mutter. And guess what? Moshe was confused. Just like when you look at a Mishnah Berurah and you see there are three shittas like this and two shittas like this, and you ask the rabbi what to do, and this rabbi says like this and this to that, and you're confused, you're in good company. Moshe Rabbeinu was also confused. And he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, how in the world am I supposed to take this Torah and practice this Torah if there are 49 stadim lahatir and 49 stadim la'esar? Look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to him. Va'amar, Hashem responds, Sheyeheze Moser L'chachmei Yisrael Shebechol Dor V'Dor. You're right. Torah can be understood in multiple, mutually exclusive perspectives. One says Aser, one says Mutter. Chayav Pater. But you know what? Whatever the Chachamim decide based on their Svara, Yihyeh Hachra Kamosam. That's what the Ritva says. That's what these Baliatosis in Sarfas, these French Baliatosis say, that the power of Elu Ve'elu is because we have a misunderstanding of how Torah works. We think Torah is that there's a certain truth that is out there by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem dealt with this Shaila and he came up to a certain conclusion. And then the rabbis have to figure out what was Hashem's conclusion to deal with this question. And that is patently incorrect. That's not how Torah works, and that's not how Torah was given. Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael, to the Chachmei HaTorah, to the Chachmei HaMesorah, in such a way that there could be a vast array of different possibilities. And Hashem handed this vast array of possibilities to the Chachmei HaMesorah to decide as they wish which way it's going to go. And of course, whatever they come out with, that's going to be the conclusion. That is what the Psak will be. That is what Torah says. In other words, there's no goal of trying to match my psak to that preordained psak that Hashem knows is true, and I have to figure out what that truth is. And that's what the Rebbe Moshe Feinstein says in his Hakdama. Excuse me, to Igros Moshe, he says a similar point. He doesn't mention, I don't think he mentions this Ritva, but he mentions the idea that Torah or truth doesn't mean this something, this pie in the sky, you know, Platonic in the with a capital P truth that's just out there and we have to figure it out. But to the opposite, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah, and whatever we conclude, guess what? That ends up being the truth. Because both sides of it were given to Klal Yisrael. Fine. And concludes the Ritva with something that just makes us realize that we're dealing with issues that are much deeper than we imagine. Nachon hu lefi divrei lefi hadrash v'derech ha'emes, but al pi kabbalah yish tam v'sod b'dov. There are secrets in this issue, and therefore, obviously, it's well beyond our abilities to understand the depths of this issue. Okay, that was the Ritva quoting Rabbani Tzarfas. Rabosai, I want to show you Rashi. A mefurish Rashi. Rashi is not on brachas. Where the Gemara Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, where the Gemara tells us Eilu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, it's not the Gemara in Gittin, which is the second place where Chazal tell us Eilu Ve'elu. It's a Rashi in the middle of some unrelated sugya in the middle of Ksuvos, and there Rashi talks about different kinds of machlokeses. And first, Rashi sets you up. You know, sometimes you have a machlokes. What did the Rebbe say? We have it all the time. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, they're arguing what the Rebbe said, or to Amorab, what did the Rebbe say? How do you understand that machlokas? The Rebbe said yes or no. He said mutter aser. He said kosher or treif. So look what Rashi says. When you have machlokas to Amorim, arguing what their Rebbe said. Maramar hachi amar ploni. Each one says, oh, I remember Rebbe said this way. The other one says, I remember Rebbe said this way. Look at the words of Rashi. Chad minayhu mishaker. One of those two Amoraim are lying. You hear that? It's not me. I would never say such a word. Look at Rashi. Chad minayhu mishaker. What frightening words. You see that? One of these two Amoraim are lying. I mean, he doesn't mean, you know, with evil intent. He just means that one is wrong. Aval, but now look at this precious pearl of Rashi in Ksuvis Nun Zayin. Aval, ki pligi tre amorai, but when you have machlokes amorai in halacha, not what did the Rebbe say, but they themselves are arguing the halacha. Isser v'heter, each one says, I think this is correct, I think that is correct. Ein kan sheker. There's no lying here. Kol chad svara didei kamer. Each one is saying their own svara. And each one gives a reason for their reason to be matir, their reason to aser. I compare it to this, and therefore it should be mutter like this. I compare the other compared to that, therefore it should be aser like that. Why do they have the right to say that? V'ika, look at what he says. You're going to have to read his words very carefully at the end of this line. V'ika le'meimar, we could say, when they argue and say different positions and different psakim, you could say, eil ve'il divrei elokim chayim, you know why? Look at these words, because they're very, each word here is a pearl. Zimnim deshayach haytaima, v'zimnim deshayach haytaima. We're gonna dissect these words. Shehatam mishapech lefi shinui hadvarim b'shinui muat. Again, what did he say? How could you have a case? How could we possibly say this concept of Elav Elav Divrei Elokim Chayim? Says Rashi, sometimes this reason applies, and sometimes that reason applies. What is Rashi saying? Rashi's saying that they're both true, and they're both not just true, but they're both true, presumably to be applied lahalacha, but just in different circumstances. Shehatam is hapech, the svaras work differently, b'shinui lefi shinui hadvarim. The way I understand this, to me, you could say otherwise, but based, you know, sometimes somebody asks, there's a story, I don't know if it's a joke or it's true, a guy comes to Rabbi Yashiv. You know they have those twist ties, you have a plastic bag for the, you know, in Brooklyn when we got a challah from the bakery, they gave us a challah in a plastic bag. Yes, the baker, the lady behind the counter, they put a challah in a bag, and they took the twist ties, and they would twist it around the top of the bag to keep it fresh. So a guy goes to Rebbe Yashiv and says, are you allowed to twist those twist ties? Is that like making a kli? And Rebbe Yashiv says, it's usr. The next day, somebody goes to Rebbe Yashiv and asks him, could you, you have those twist ties, could you put on a bag and, close the bag? And is that mutter? And he says, oh, it's mutter. And these two fellas meet each other and say, Rebbe Yashiv told me it's us. And the other one says, Rebbe Yashiv told me it's mutter. They say, no. One of us is, I was there. I saw, heard what he said. And the other says, I was there. I know what he said. They go to Rebbe Yashiv and they say, Rebbe, could you, we're confused. I asked you yesterday, could you do this? And you said, it's us. And I come, the next guy says, but I come to you the other day. I said, can I do this? And he said, it's mutter. So Rebbe Yashiv said, again, this is apocryphal. I don't know if it's true. And I'm not certainly not passing like this, but this is how the story goes. You'll see the point it makes. Rabbi Yashiv says, look at my screen very carefully, please, Rabbi Osai. Rabbi Yashiv says, you asked, oh my gosh, that's so funny. Right as I said that, my screen got disconnected. Okay, hold on 1 second, because you have to see my hands on the screen. Mamish, a simon from Shemayim that I want everybody to see this. Because the one moment that I said, look at my screen, that's exactly when my screen falls off. Give me 1 minute, and my screen will reload, and I'll be able to show you the Maisa with Rabbi Yashiv. Okay, I'm connecting. Sorry. So I'll just say the point that we're gonna that we're seeing in Rashi. Rashi's saying that the circumstances might be slightly different, and that's why the two Amoraim are arguing. In other words, Rashi's saying Elav Elav Divrei Elokim Chayim, because each one has a svara, and each one's svara is correct, but in a little bit of a different circumstance, in a little bit of a different scenario. But each one indeed is correct. Hold on 1 second. We'll go to better Wi-Fi. Okay, hold on, we just have to fix the connection. Give me 1 second. Okay, so we just saw Rashi told us that when you have a machlokes amoraim, what you really have is a machlokes whether or not you have a disagreement as to the situation, but both ideas are simultaneously correct, but they're both talking about somehow some different situation or scenario. Now this concept is made a little bit clearer in the following gra. This is a gra. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein has a collection of different cute ideas that he collects, or his kolo collects on each daf. And in Erevin, which is where this gemara that we were just learning about, where it talks about divrei el ve'el divrei elokim chayim, he quotes the gra. And look what the gra says. The gra says, let's talk about one famous case. The famous case at the very last daf in Gittin is, when is a man allowed to be megarish his wife? And there's machlok, is Beishamai Beisilel. Beishamai says only if there's an ervas davar, if there's something very inappropriate that she violated. And Beisilel says no, even for something small like she burned the chalent, even that's enough of a reason. And the Gemara there says, Vamrina Sham, Habazivag Rishon, Habazivag Sheni. Oh, says the Gra, for the fact that the Gemara, when it has a machlokes, didn't just say, okay, so we have an argument. Okay, they disagree. No, the Gemara continued to say, this one is talking about Zivag Rishon, this one is talking about Zivag Sheni, and they're not arguing. Says the Gra, look at what the Gra says. Shneim namru mi Sinai. Ela sheze ne'emar al zivug rishon, v'ze al zivug sheni. Beis Shammai, let me rephrase that. Shammai, he said something. And Hillel said something. They were both totally true. And they didn't even contradict one another. One was talking about zivug rishon, one was talking about zivug sheni, and they're both true simultaneously. Because they're talking about apples and oranges. The problem was, Rak, says the Gra, Misha Rabu, Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel, Shloshim shel Kol Tzarkam. They had some Talmidim who weren't so Eiskehalten. Oh, they didn't listen to Shir clearly and carefully enough. They thought their Rebbe just said across the board, Kadcha Tavshilo. Or they thought their Rebbe just said across the board, Elim Kein Matzah Bar Vastavar. They didn't realize that the Rebbe was only saying Kadcha Tavshilo in this case, or Matzah Bar Vastavar in that case. And they didn't realize the fine tuned precision with which Shammai and Hillel were speaking.
Which is which?
I don't remember. You have to look up the Gemara. And therefore, they were both true simultaneously, but Ela shekol echad nemar al ofen acher. Ukeinyan she'amru, like Chazal say so many times, mara machadah v'lo pligi. And this Rabbo say, this Gra, I think, is fleshing out the concept that Rashi himself said. Meaning Rashi said these very cryptic words. When Rashi said that just a few minutes ago, El ve'el diri l'kim chayim, but zimrim shayach haytam, and zimrim shayach haytam, and that was Rashi speaking. Now the Gra fleshes out. What that means is each opinion knows what they're saying and is correct. If a Tana says something, it is true. It is not that we pass in one way or the other. It is true. And it's 100% true, but it may not apply in all the cases. That's the... I'm just going to ask if everybody could please mute yourselves. There's somebody who's not muted. If you could please mute yourselves. So that's what the Gra says, which I think is a deeper understanding of what Rashi says. Now, Rabosai, I want to share with you another explanation to this issue that we're trying to demystify, the shaila of what does it mean, Eil ve'il divrei elokim chayim. And I want to see what the Nesivus says. The Nesivus in his parish on Erevin, called Emes Liyakov, the Nesivus had a lot of svarim, right? He had the Nesivus HaMishpat on Chosh HaMishpat, he has his Siddur Derech HaChayim, he has Torah's Gittin on Gittin, he has Emes Liyakov on Erevin, he has a lot of svarim. You look at what the Emes Liyakov says, the Nesivus, you'll see that he quotes Rashi. And he says something that's, when we think of the Nesivus, we think of, the master of halacha. We don't think the hashkafa so much. We don't think you know, Kabbalah, we think the master, that you know, the Ketzos and the Nesivos, we think the masters of Lamdas, the lancers of, you know, Choshen Mishpatik Lamdas, Bametziyadik Lamdas. Look at what the Nesivos says. What happens when you have Machlokas? He quotes Rashi. Rashi says that they're both true. When there's an argument in Svara, they're both true, but they just are applying to a little bit of a different case. The Nesivos says, what does that mean? Look what he says. Dehainu shekol echad hisig beruach hakodesh devarav. When the Tana presents his opinion in Shas, perhaps even when the Amora, I don't know if he's talking about Amora, but certainly Tana, when a Tana presents his opinion in Shas, that's not just him talking, it's not just his Svara. That is the Ruach HaKodesh. Again, there's the Nesivos talking. It's not some Rebbe from I don't know when. There's the Nesivos, HaMishpat, speaking. And he gives him an example. We know the famous story about Sumchus, right? Maman Hamuto Rasafik Cholkin. Derech Mashal. Listen to what he's saying now. He's about to say now, because this is going to deepen our understanding. Until now, we saw from Rashi, and maybe explain a little bit more from the Grah, that you could have two different statements that seem to be opposing one another, that seem to be contradictory. And in truth, one is talking about a little bit of a different scenario, and the other is talking about a little bit of a different scenario, and that's why they're both true, but just talking about a little bit of a different scenario. The Nesivos is going to say something that's incredible. He's going to say, no, not exactly like what I just said. Nesivos is going to suggest, let's see it outside, then I'll say it inside. They had a Ruach HaKodesh, and they perceived the truth to be something X. They perceived the truth to be, let's say, Somcha says, Mamon HaMotu Masavi Yachloku. But when they perceived that Ruach HaKodesh, they perceived it by Aspaklaria, She'ena Me'ira. And when they understood it, they said it straight out, Yachloku. They didn't realize that they were right, but that their being right only applies in some cases, not other cases. Derech Mashal, Sumchas Hisig Beruach HaKodesh, Demamon HaMutu B'Savi Cholken. V'la'asher Shehasagasu Hoysa B'Asbaklari She'ena Me'ira. He got this Beruach HaKodesh that should be Achloku. But his Ruach HaKodesh made him, he didn't have a clear picture, and therefore he assumed, okay, in all cases, Yachloku. But really, that's not true. Really, we only say that concept of Yachloku, which was true from Ruach HaKodesh. But really, if you had a clearer perspective, Mr. Sumchas, you'd realize that it's only when they're not muchzakim, when they're muchzakim, then we don't say that. So what is the Nesivos telling us? He's telling us an incredible idea. This is not against the previous ideas. I think it's a deeper level. It's not just that each one is saying a different, it's a little bit different than what we saw in the Grah. The Grah said that each one is 100% correct, but they're talking about different scenarios and the students are the mistaken ones. He's saying that no, the Tana, when he says it as a general rule, he might be missing a little bit of his own understanding because his Ruach HaKodesh is not perfect, and therefore the Ruach HaKodesh with which he's presenting his statement is assuming incorrectly that it applies across the board, and really it doesn't apply across the board. V'chein, says the Nesivos, v'chol mako depligi tanoim halach kishneihem. Wow. When you have machlokes tanoim, who's the halacha like? The halacha is like both of them. Except when they said their statement, each one of them, they were each missing. They thought their rule applied across the board, and his opponent thought his rule applied across the board. They didn't realize that they're both true simultaneously, but this one's position is limited a little bit to this case. And this one's position is limited a little bit to this case. But really, they're both true simultaneously. That's an incredible pshat. And he says, we see this concept that sometimes people experience Ruach HaKodesh. The story with Daniel, you remember Daniel saw the writing on the wall, and everyone, you learned Daniel, if you didn't learn Daniel, I never learned Daniel, but I know Daniel with the writing on the wall. So he perceived something, Ruach HaKodesh, but he didn't perceive it clearly in terms of knowing what was written on the wall.
So Rabbi, how can we accept a decision that our own is not right? Perhaps it was said for a different circumstance. You can stand as well.
I think the answer is very simple. That the Sha'as HaDchach, Chazal are telling us in the Sha'as HaDchach, maybe that's where the lenient opinion was suggested.
Yeah, but the lenient.
I'm telling you what I think. That would be fitting perfectly into the paradigm that we're setting up. It's a perfect fit. And therefore, the next thing the Nesivos gets into Kabbalah, which I'm not going to get into, that's the incredible idea of the Nesivos. The Nesivos says everything that Natana had was Baruch HaKodesh, but he thought it applied across the board, but indeed it only applies in a limited case. I want to finish off with a very fascinating point that the Rashba makes. The Rashba proves that even when you don't paskin like something, you can't say it's wrong. You know why? Because look at this. Look at this halacha that you are all familiar with. Look at halacha beis in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, the Rambam says that if beis din makes a takana, a gzeira, and it spreads throughout all of Klal Yisrael, and a later beis din disagrees and wants to change the previous beis din's psak. So we are all familiar with the story, right? One beis din does not have the capacity to overrule a previous beis din, Elim Kei Godel Hemedo, all together now, the Chachma of a Minyan. Right? So if you want to uproot and undermine the previous beis din, you have to have Chachma of a Chachma of a Minyan. We've all heard that line, that you have to be Chachma of a Chachma of a Minyan if you want to uproot or undermine or overturn a previous beis din. But Rabosai, that halacha, if you look at the beginning of the Rambam, is limited. It only applies to a gzera or a takana. However, look at this. Look at the previous Rambam. One line before. In Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, what happens if you have a machlokes, not about a ta, you have a psak, not of a takana or a gzera d'rabbanon, but there's a discussion over what is the din d'oraisa. Based in Gadol, says the Rambam, Shadarshu ba'achas min hamidos, they dash in the yud gimel midos, and they arrived at a certain psak. And guess what? A later bezdin also dealt with those yud gimel midos, shatar and drashas b'hen, and arrived at an opposite psak. Guess what? You know what the halacha is, Rabosai? The halacha is the second beis din has the right to paskin against the first beis din. Hareza sofser v'don kafi mashanira be'enav. You paskin based how you think, not based on what precedent was. Shenemar el hashofit hasheyeh bayomim ha'heim. Each generation has the right to paskin its halachas based on their own generation. So let's just put this thing together. I always thought ein beis din. Okay, davar based on shel chaver elav king gadol hemer b'chachma v'minyan. The answer is that's true only regarding a gzera or a takana. But if in terms of paskening a din d'oraisa, in terms of paskening one using the Torah, the midah shel Torah Jezben, one based in paskens one way, a later generation based in can indeed pasken fakert and undermine and reject a previous bezdin. We do not follow precedent. We follow my understanding of Torah. The Rashba makes an incredible point based on this this difference between a drasha as a limud as opposed to a gzera. Says Rashba, how could it be that one psach is right and one psach is wrong if built into Torah is the possibility that in the next generation, guess what? The other one is right and this one is wrong. Do you hear what the Rashba just said? The Rashba just proved Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim applies in halacha 100%, not just as a theoretical concept that you could have two truths simultaneously. But the Rashba is telling us, if you paskin one way today, built into Torah is that next year, a different beis din could paskin the exact opposite. And that's part of Torah. That means that this year, the Torah is mutter. Next year there's going to be a different beis din. The Torah, the same Torah, a different beis din, a generation later will say Aser. And 10 years later we'll switch again, Mutter. 10 years later we'll switch again to Aser. Aser Mutter, Aser Mutter. Every generation is going to paskin based on its own psak. And therefore, says the Rashba, it's clear that Eil Veil Divrei Elokim Chaim shows you that both can be true simultaneously. Except coming back all the way full circle to what we started with, the concept of Elu ve'Elu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah and gave it to the Chachmei Hador. Now we could go back and appreciate that ritva that we started with. Now I'm going all the way back to that ritva that we started with. We're going to finish with this point. It's already late. Eilu ve'eilu, Divrei Elokim Chaim asked the ritva, how could you have such a thing? And the ritva says that Torah has 49 stadim leheter, 49 stadim leesar, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, how could that be? And Hashem said, very simple. The Torah is given to the Chachamim to paskin as they desire to paskin. And that is the Torah. That means there's no such thing as one opinion opposite or contradictory to the other opinion. They're both right simultaneously. The Beis Din has the right to choose A. But guess what? A different Beis Din next year has the same right to say not A, to say B. And therefore we could go through a... However, there's one point where this ends. There's one point that you can't argue. Let me show you an incredible Rama. I want to finish up now. Let me show you an incredible Rama. The Rama says that if somebody thinks that they're right, they could argue on previous generations. Mihu. It's a little hard to read because of all the little letters. Mihu. Yesh omrim de'im nira ledayon ve'levnei doro mikoch rayas mechroschos she'en ha'din kamoshu huzka b'poskim. If you're convinced, you have great proofs, you learned the sigil well and you're a chacham shegil l'ora and you are convinced that this is the halacha not like everybody else thinks, you could argue on anyone before you. You could argue on the Rambam, you could argue on the Gra, you could argue on the Shach, you could argue on the Mishnah Brura, you could argue on Rebbe Kaveger, you could argue on the Chasam Sofer, hey, you could argue on Rashi, you could argue on anyone you want. That's what we just learned. That was what the Rambam told us, that you could argue. If a Beis Din later feels that they're right, then they could argue on a previous Beis Din. Except for one point. As long as, says the Rambam, Me'achar she'enu nizkar b'gemara. Except for something in Chazal. You can't argue on Shas. You could argue on the Gaonim if you want. You know who points that out? The Shach. The Shach says you can argue anyone you want, even the Gaonim, the earliest time period of Torah Shebaal Peh after Shas. The Gaonim, who lived between the year 500 when the Talmud was concluded and the year 1000 when the Rishonim period begins. You could argue even on them. You could argue on all the Rishonim if you're so convinced and so strong in your own learning. But you can't argue on Shas. You know why? Because Shas, Mishnah, and Talmud Bavli has a different parameter. And that is, as the Gra here points out, once something is canonized into Shas, says the Gra in his commentary on this Rama, who says that you could argue on anyone who came before you except Shas, Da'al HaGemara, look at this line of the Gra. Ein reshus lahosif v'lo ligroa. Nobody can add nor take away from anything in Shas. Kol shekein lachalek, certainly can't argue. Why? Because of four incredibly important words. Ravina v'Rav Ashi, sof hora'a. What does it mean that Ravina and Rav Ashi were the end of hora'a, were the editors, were the redactors of Talmud Bavli? What does it mean that Ravina and Rav Ashi, what is Chazal telling us that they are the Sof HaRa? It means that they put the stamp and the seal and closed Shas, and after that, nobody could argue on anything that's in Shas. But let me explain to you why. Very simple reason. This Rabbi Shechter told us. He said very simply, because there was Amida L'Minyan. At that point in history, the Chacham of the generation were together, and they decided together that this is it. And there wasn't a machloka as one opinion, and another basin over there, and another basin over there. But the same way Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had an Amida L'Minyan all together, so too, at the time of Ravina Rav Ashi, again, I don't know the history well enough, there was an Amida L'Minyan, it was accepted, all of Klai so accepted upon themselves this psak, and therefore that is something that cannot be changed later on. And therefore, Rabbi Osei, we're going to finish now. What did we learn tonight? We learned that even though typically we always thought Eilu Ve'eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim is just a concept, we learned that no, that it has halacha l'maisa nafkaminas, that there are many cases where even a psak that we don't rule like, we will go by, whether it's Orla or Avelos or Shitas Ya or by Mominus for Nitva or for Shas HaDchak. And then we saw that the Rashi says that the idea behind a machlokas, is that each one is correct, and the Nesivus Eidah, not only is each one correct, but each one had a Ruach HaKodesh. But Rashi said they just were talking about a little bit of a different situation, or the way the Nesivus says, they didn't see it clearly, they thought it applied across the board. But really, everything, all of Chazal is correct and not contradictory one to the other. It's just up to us to figure out when one applies, when one doesn't apply. Rabosei, I just want to finish with an incredible thought. How lucky are we? How lucky are we? You know, we're talking in a time of corona, and you have one epidemiologist says one way, another says another way. One infectious disease says one way, another says another way. You have, one governor says this way, another governor says that way. One mayor says this way, another mayor says this way. And guess what? They're not all right. They're not all right, correct, simultaneously. Some are going to be right, some are going to be wrong. Maybe some of them will be talking about different situations. How lucky are we that our avoda, our amelus, our toil is in Torah? You could be learning one way and get it all wrong, and you could still be right. You could be learning right, and somebody else could think you're wrong. The beauty of Torah is that all the amelus that we have in Torah, all the toil that we have in Torah, it's all Torah's Hashem. And to consider the fact that we're involved in something so incredible, that whatever our success is, whatever little bits we understand, whatever little bits we remember, every moment that we toil in Torah, we're coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're uncovering that incredible divine wisdom, that Chachma Elokis that's encapsulated in Torah. Every moment that we learn, we have that Zuchus. So I want to thank you for joining. We should be Zochah to be Mekabel Torah, Ba'ava, Besimcha. And hopefully this Shavuos HaBa'aleinu L'Torah, L'Tova, will be able to be Mekabel Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the gift.